What's good, people? This is going to be our first podcast, and we're going to be talking about Ark Survival Evolved.
What's good, gang?
And, well, basically, first, I'm going to start off. Do you have any questions about the game?
Yes.
Alright, what are they?
Remember that one time when we were walking, and you were talking about the Genesis ending?
Yes.
I still need more details.
Alright. So, we're gonna go over Genesis real quickly. So, Ark lore, it starts back on the island, but we'll get to that in a bit. Genesis 2 is... you basically get put on a ship with hundreds of different dinosaur species along with other people. And that the goal of the ship is to find the new planet that you guys are going to camp up on and call the new Earth. Mind you, the ship is about the size of the moon, if not two. And basically, there's this guy, and he's called Rockwell, Edmund Rockwell. And, well, he's very powerful, because we'll get into the story on him when we get to Aberration. But for now, let's just say he managed to take over half of the ship, and he embedded himself pretty deeply into the controls of the ship, which meant when the survivors went into the where he was, well, hiding out in the ship, when they defeated him, they took the ship out with him.
I want to be a goofball.
This explosion was equivalent to the size of a small star going off.
Oh yeah, I know, you were telling me about that.
So, this explosion was not small, and mind you, it was in the middle of space.
Yeah, man.
So, you end up defeating him, and what happens is, well, basically, a very, very small robot named Helena is with you when you do this. She recharges your mech for you that you used to kill Edmund Rockwell with, or his evolved form, I should say. After you do this, when you get injected out into space, and you get a final note from her. While you're listening to this note, you can hear in the background as Edmund Rockwell is talking to Helena, or HLNA. And the very end of it, because what he has done to himself is he got obsessed with a very specific type of element, which is actually the name of it, but I'll get to that in a bit, also along with Aberration. But he got obsessed with it and managed to inject it into his arm, turning him into something that's not even relatively close to human. He saw himself as a god. And in the end of this, the final scene, you hear him say, as he cries out into space, "This won't kill me, I've gotten out of worse." And Helena explains what's happening to him, that he's not going to make it out of this one. And his final words before he, well, blows up is, "Helena, I'm afraid." Which is relating back to when he goes back to being human for a bit and finally sees what he's done.
I'm only human after. I think we should go do the Let's Play too.
Oh, and yes, if y'all want to see a Let's Play series, we will be doing it on Minecraft pretty soon. So, putting that out there. Alright.
Yeah, maybe in like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I literally can't find the podcast either. It's kind of crazy.
It's fine. We'll find it when we get it done. But now, let's get on to the island, which is what we will be focusing on today. So, basically, a girl named Helena, which you might remember that name from what I just told you.
Helena?
Yeah.
Interesting.
washes up from the shore after about getting eaten by a megalodon. When she gets on the land, she looks around, and everything is just, well, prehistoric. There's dinosaurs walking around, and she finds a singular dodo. She manages to tame this dodo and has a friend that she carries along with her for a while. But before she could get the dodo tamed, a guy named Bob appears. And he was the first person she encountered. And basically, Bob was trying to eat the dodo, because Bob hurled a spear at the dodo, and Helena managed to protect it. So he backed off, then started showing her how the ark was. After a while, we finally got introduced to someone else, Mei Ying. Mei Ying is from the Chinese era. A long, long time ago.
I can tell.
I don't know from the exact date, but mind you, the people coming into the Ark are not from the same time period. They are from years and thousands of years apart. And she gets into the Ark. And just as Helena did, washes up on the beach and has no clue of what's going on. All she knows is that there's things around her, and she's scared. But she was a warrior at her time. So, she immediately gets some stuff made. A hatchet made out of stone, fiber, wood, and stuff like that. Along with a pickaxe. And she comes across a tribe raiding another tribe. And they have a group of four raptors they're riding as they go in and go raid their base and start stealing their stuff. Mei Ying then comes in, knocks all four of them down with her spear that she crafts, manages to scare the other raptors off, but one of them stays behind. And this raptor is the one that she managed to tame. And she made a very deep connection with this raptor. So, after the people in their tribe thanked her for saving them and for all their loot, she said, don't worry about it, and then made her way alone again and started finding out what was happening. And then this is when we get introduced to Edmund Rockwell. He was just a normal scientist from, I'm pretty sure it was around 1936, and he was misunderstood in his original time. All the other scientists would laugh at him and call his ideas dumb, but in here, he had no one to stop him. So, he came up to a couple of the neighboring tribes, allied with them, and got them to start giving him apes as test subjects for his different things. And that's when he made the concoction called Memory Wipe.
Oh no.
He managed to make something from the Ark that whenever you drank it, it would clear your memory completely. So he used this on the ape to see what would happen. The ape forgot everything. It worked flawlessly. And when he did this, he wanted to go and get more lively subjects. But the tribes were not willing to give up any people, so he had to continue with monkeys and different apes. Then, after a while of testing, he finally got his hands on an Argentavis, which is one of the great flying birds of our survival evolved, and this is when he met Helena. So these two partnered up because they were both a type of scientist. Helena was just beginning, though, so she did not have much going for her. So when she was finally found by Rockwell, she gets accepted into his house, and they decide that they're going to work together on it, so they start to get to work. Helena manages to make friends with other tribes and finally gets a human test subject who the tribe captured from another one. I'm dying. And basically, oh my gosh, why am I randomly coughing?
I passed it on.
Oh, my bad. But basically, they decide that once they have the test subject, they will move further on. So, they get different types of chilies now. There's a chili that makes you hot and can make you feel warm even in the tundra. There's a chili that makes you feel cold, which even if you're right next to or even in lava, it will still kill you, but you won't feel the heat. So, with this newfound knowledge, they were able to raid the ice cave. Now, this ice cave was not easy whatsoever. They found out very quickly, because they lost countless amounts of people, and they still didn't even manage to get what they wanted in there, which was called an artifact, which there are plenty of on the island. But, after a while, they come across this huge tribe, and this might be a name that you guys might recognize, Julius Caesar, the great leader of Rome, was the owner of that giant tribe.
I know, you were talking in class how you like the Rome so much. Is this why?
Nope, but Rome is really nice. But yes, it was the leader of Rome. And they managed to tribe up with him. And Caesar was very giving with test subjects, as he was expanding over the island like it was his to own. But, sadly, Rockwell started to feel betrayed by Helena, because he thought she was getting all the attention when he should be getting most of it. After a while of this, Rockwell finally decided that he's going to go on his own and figure out more. So, he went into a cave. And in that cave, he found, well, like you'd expect, different types of bugs. The one thing that he hated the most was the Aranio and the Arthropleura. These things gave him great, great, great trouble. After a while, he managed to get an artifact. And he did his research on that and found out that it had tech in it, which was very, very advanced. After learning this, he found traces of an item called element in it. And he wanted to figure out more about it. So what he did was he went deeper into the cave and he found an element vein. He harvested it and only got a couple pieces. So he had to make these pieces count. And as he was doing research, he tested it on a couple people, and it killed them almost instantly. But when he mixed it with the right things, the right weapons, he created super weapons that were very, very powerful and very, very destructive. And he got obsessed with element. And that's when he turned down his dark path and started, well, mutating himself. But enough about him. On to Mei Ying, or now known as the Beast Queen, as she had managed to tame more raptors now, so she had more, well, weapons on her side that she could use at her disposal. And she even managed to tame a Giganotosaurus, one of the most powerful things in Ark Survival Evolved. And she thought that she was strong enough to see what was in the obelisks. And I will have a podcast completely on just the obelisks and explaining what they do and what they are. But, for right now,
short summary.
What was that?
Do a short summary.
Well, basically, they were very high in technology, way higher than we have right now, and they were very powerful. So there's your summary. But yeah, she went into one of the boss fights. The Megapithecus fight. The Megapithecus was a giant ape, and he was very, very strong. He lived up in the mountains, and she started to fight him. And she won. Little did she know, when she went back, guess who was waiting for her? Caesar and his entire clan was there to greet her.
Oh, Caesar. Oh, no.
And Caesar immediately launched an attack in hopes to get what she had. He made the fatal mistake of attacking the Giga. This put the Giga into rage mode. And in rage mode, the Giga doesn't care if you're allied or not. It kills. So this Giga started killing everything in its line of sight, including its own allies, along with a lot of Caesar's people. Caesar managed to escape along with Mei Ying, but her raptor was seriously wounded. So after a while, they get to a safe place, and she let her raptor down to rest. And when she did this, the raptor got better after a couple days. They set back out on their journey, and, well, they went back in, and she had made war with Caesar. And he knew that he crossed a very determined person, because she was not willing to give up on him. As her one goal on the arc was to kill him.
Damn.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to know?
I hope you don't stop.
What was that?
I hope you don't sound schizophrenic.
I don't.
It would be really bad.
Yeah, but is there anything else you'd like to know? Because I can go in detail on different things.
Nope. What about the obelisk?
I guess I could cover them in this one. Yeah, I might as well. Well, basically, actually, I'm going to cover this one with also covering Aberration, the next map, or the next arc that they went on to. But I will finish up the island and explain what happened. But after a while on the island, things started getting worse and worse. Caesar grew stronger, the Beast Queen, Mei Ying, got angrier, and eventually, they all went to the tech room. And that's when Caesar met his unfortunate end to Mei Ying's blade through his chest.
Oh.
Yes. Moving on to Aberration after they all got teleported there by the obelisks. Aberration used to be a very, very lively environment with lots of plants, animals, and different, well, structures that used to be used by ancient people there. And I don't know his name exactly, because it's very hard to remember, but he was a very skilled bomb expert, and he was there. And he actually hacked into some of the government buildings in his time. So, they were there with a jet fighter and a couple other people. This bomb expert managed to use the tech that they found in the caves. They managed to take this tech and turn it into a suit. This suit was able to fly, super punch, and had very, very good resistance to different types of damages. And after a while, they got the suit completely, well, finished. And they tried to get out of there. So, they sent the jet flyer up there, that way she could handle all the G-forces of it going that fast. She was going full speed, and then boom, she hit a barrier and started to fall. These are when the obelisks come into play. The obelisks are the things that are holding up these barriers all around the ark. And you see, what these people don't know is that these arcs, they aren't on Earth. They're in the middle of space. Meaning these barriers are keeping the solar flares out. And the bomb expert thought, I have an idea. So he went to the tech cave, managed to get some of that element, and, well, he managed to forge a bomb out of it. This bomb is like no bomb we have ever seen. If we would have taken a today's nuclear bomb, it's like an ant compared to what he made there.
Right on, Tsar Bomba.
Oh my gosh, that thing's tiny compared to it.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, basically, they thought, we're gonna go up into those obelisks, the Overseer's Tower, and we're gonna show it what's boss. Turns out, when they got up there, they weren't prepared at all. A couple of them had tech suits, a couple didn't. And they had a horse carrying a wagon with the bomb on the back of it. Well, what happened? They got up there, and they set the bomb on a short fuse, because, well, a thing called an enforcer came. They could shoot element rounds. These element rounds were very damaging and very powerful. So they set the bomb on a short fuse and got out of there, as the Overseer had been awakened and shapeshifted into the dragon and started melting through their people like there were nothing. So while they had time, the people with tech suits jumped off. They managed to land safely. The others weren't so lucky. But they started running away, knowing if that bomb went off, it would be seriously bad. And they were right, because shortly after they ran away, boom, the bomb came off and collapsed the Overseer's Tower completely. Completely disabling that side of the force field. And then they finally saw it. They were in space. And they knew it was coming. Now, these obelisks were very, very strong. And they were built to withstand solar flares. And what they just did was completely disable them, and they took down the three floating beacons in the actual arc itself. Which means each of those beacons was filled to the brim with liquid element. And when one of them crashed, instead of being the usual red color, it turned purple, the same color as element. Meaning that obelisk was leaking element. And a very, very lot of it. So they all retreated.
A very, very
lot. Yeah. I know. Such great English skills.
Interesting group.
But yeah, they decided that they're going to run into the caves and see if they can be safe in there. Luckily, they were. The sun couldn't reach down in there, which means they didn't get cooked alive. And, well, they went down there, and those caves were so much bigger than they could have ever imagined. They were about the same size as the Ark, if not bigger. And they made a home down there. And that home? Well, it was in the caves of Aberration. Which is exactly where Edmund Rockwell, along with Helena, landed. Except they landed in a thing called the Blue Zone. And the Blue Zone was not forgiving, as it sent a thing called Seekers out to come kill him. These Seekers would hunt in packs. They would find whoever their victim was, and they would swarm them. And yes, they could fly. so they had to deal with flying things. Luckily, Helena had an assault rifle on her, so she dealt with them pretty quickly. But they came back with more of them, and they had to run. After a while, they found the base where everyone had been set up, and their leader there was very kind to them and let them stay there. And then Mei Ying came, the Beast Queen. She arrived on the planet as it was turning day out, which means she was on the outside. So she saw things getting hotter as she was walking away from Caesar's dead body. She saw his once normal body burning to a crisp. Then she looked up and she saw the ground starting to catch on fire behind her. So she ran and she got to the entrance of the cave. She took off her chest plate as it started to steam from wearing it. So she went into the cave. She found herself in the blue zone. And she had to fight a thing called a nameless. And the thing about nameless is they keep coming. If you kill one, two more appear. And she fought them for as long as she could. But then she backed up into some light, and they ran away. Turns out, they didn't like the light. What was this light? It was a little goat called a Shinehorn. Its horns would glow, and that thing scared away Nameless. So after she made friends with the Shinehorn, she continued on and started getting things. And then she found a Ravager. Ravagers are very strong. No. That is good, though. That might be a good idea. But yeah. Basically, Ravagers were very strong in pack hunters. And they were very maneuverable in Aberration. They could walk across zip lines. And they were strong. Really strong. And she managed to knock one of them out, tame it, and then she had a mount. And this thing would just tear through everything. Then she saw it. The Rock Drake. Just sort of like a dragon. Except...
Okay.
Except this thing could not fly, but it could glide and jump very far. And... when she decided that she wanted it, she made Trank arrows and started trying to knock it out. She had a very long battle with it, and it managed to kill her Ravager. The Ravager sacrificed itself to help her, and it played a very, very long cost, but she got the Rock Drake, which means she had a gliding mount. And this Rock Drake was very strong. So after a while, she was heading around with her Rock Drake, walking in there. And then, boom. The group found her. And they all had tech suits, but their tech suits couldn't fly. But they could still super punch and travel very quickly. And, of course, Mei Ying had never seen technology like this, so she was scared. She pulled out her sword and got ready to fight. But after the girl took the mask off, Mei Ying lowered her sword, took her Rock Drake with them, and set up camp there. And after a while, the leader of this group and Mei Ying would make a very strong bond. But for now, Mei Ying was still wary of everybody. But after a while, she managed to get fit in there. She started to learn how to use her weapons. And, well, she started to fit in. Now, of course, she couldn't really repair things very well because she wasn't used to having things work like that. But she was indeed able to learn how to use the railgun really efficiently. And with this is when Rockwell goes into his mad obsession. So he got a party to help him, and he was going into a thing called the Red Zone, which is very, very dangerous. It had creatures called Reapers in there. And these things were like, if you were to take a T-Rex, mix it with Alien, from the movie Alien, and then put it on a couple different types of drugs, that's what you got right there.
Oh, God.
And after a while, they went down there, and, well, things just went horribly wrong right off the start. Rockwell found a pool of molten Edmundium is what he called it after he found it, but it's called element. And he decided that he's going to take a bunch of it. So he got jars upon jars filled with it and takes it back to the lab. And he started testing it, seeing what it would do. And he had his own little corner in the lab where people wouldn't find him. He took the Shinehorn that Mei Ying had tamed, which was his first mistake, and injecting it with element. It immediately started to mutate. A cute little goat at one point turned into a tall, two-legged beast. And the moment a scientist came down there, it got shot. Which means Edmund did not get to do what he wanted. But what he did find out is what he just did. He made something into a higher being, is what he called it. So he thought, what if I injected that stuff into me? And that's exactly what he did. He wrapped his belt around the top of his forearm as hard as he could, then injected it into his lower arm. Luckily, with the belt wrapped so tight around his arm, it couldn't get to the rest of his body. Oh man, was his lower arm purple and his veins were bulging with element in them. So he thought, I've gone this far, I might as well go all the way and become an actual god. So he did it. He took off the strap and injected the rest of the Edmundium into him. It turned him into something not human, even remotely. He destroyed everything in the village. Everyone killed most, if not all, the dinosaurs there. And then he started walking away. And when Mei Ying found out what he had done, she was pissed. She took out two tech swords, and she followed him, along with Helena. And these two finally find Rockwell sitting in a pool of Edmundium. And he was enjoying it, taking it all in. And, well, it goes as following. They started to fight Rockwell. And I mean, he was huge. He was at least the size of a 3-story building.
Damn.
Yeah. But when they start to fight him, it actually went good for them. They managed to sink in a shot good enough with the dual tech swords that they shoved him down deep into the element, keeping him in there and evolving him worse. But they didn't have to worry about any of that anymore, because he was pushed down into the shadows where he belonged. But something strange happened. That being, when he got pushed down in that element and started to evolve even more, he started to feel everything. He could feel the ground. He could feel the dinosaurs walking on the ground. He could feel how the Reapers were and where they were and how they acted. He could feel everything. He knew everything that was happening in the Ark. And that's when he started to evolve. But that's all I'm going to cover in today's episode. And yeah, if this one does decent, I might make a part two to it, and we can go over Scorched Earth and Extinction. But for right now, this is episode one. Enjoy. Goodbye. And so before